Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ooh, yeah.
This is the anthem.
We
take our shirts off.
We take our shirts off.
These are the plantains.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Champions League edition. This is your host, Dean. And as always, I'm here with my co-host. And you are?
Very excited.
That's Coach. You know who that is. In any event, we are sorry that we left you guys for a while. We just didn't have a lot to say. That Porto tie was so fucking nerve-wracking for us. Yeah. We're Arsenal fans, you know, so the shit was stressful. It was basically the two best defenses in the tournament going against each other. So, honestly, we just, you know, we haven't been here in a while, so we had to humble ourselves and back off a bit. But now we're back. We're back. We're excited. We're back. We made it through to the fun part of the draw. But we're not starting with Arsenal because you guys know that if we start on Arsenal, we'll go forever. So let us start with... I mean, every tie is a glamour tie, Coach. So fuck it. We start with PSG Barcelona.
Yeah.
The Neymar derby, if you will. The Messi derby.
So here's the thing, right? I'm not a bettor. I've never been a bettor. And I have some friends that have difficulties understanding what semantics are when it comes to talking about what favorites mean, basically. And I was explaining to them, look, to me, Barcelona are the favourites for this tie, for me personally. I know, like, Kyle was like, well, they've got a much better functioning midfield, and their actual squad setup, despite injuries, I feel like is way better equipped for a cup competition than it is for the league. And they were like, yeah, but Mbappe, was like, yeah, Mbappe is great, but they've had him for how many years and made it to one final? I'm not sure why this year should be any different. You know what I mean? This is probably the worst PSG team he's probably played in as well. I think it's a great tie, but I'm putting my money on Barca. Despite all the shit I've given them, I am putting my money on Barca.
Yeah, they just seem like a more, which is weird because they're both having interesting seasons.
Yeah.
PSG are always winning in France, so by default, it looks like they're having a better season than they're actually having. But if you watch games on a weekly basis, you know, between Luis Enrique halfway beefing his best player and just the lack of challenge in that league, you know, they come into the Champions League and they face stronger teams and they struggle. I think in a lot of ways, not to talk about teams that are already deceased from the draw at this point, but I feel like that's kind of what fucked Inter Milan in their tie against Atleti. You know, it was like they're 16 points ahead in Serie A. So they face a team on their level and the team on their level punches them in the mouth real quick after they score a goal away from home and they shit themselves. Yeah. That's basically what happened with Inter. And I think that's essentially what's been happening with PSG for the last decade, basically since Qatar showed up there. And I don't expect Mbappe to change that, especially with the fact that we all know he's leaving. You know, like that does something to a team. When people know that their best player is not really plugged in like the rest of them, you know, you have to be together to win, at least in this era of the game. I think there was a time not too long ago where players and coaches who hated each other could still win together on a regular basis. I don't really think that's feasible these days. It's way too professional, way too cleaned up. So yeah, I think you got it right, Coach. Now, who would be favorites in the tie? I can't really speak to that. I don't really know because I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, people get enough betting, which, you know, is disgusting anyway. Then they might make PSG slack for it as well. But I think I think it's such a I think it's such a rubbish way of looking at, of actually analyzing it. Oh yeah, because the bookies have all these analytics. How about you just watch the games and look at the matchups, because that will give you a much better indication. Obviously there's surprises everywhere, but when two teams are relatively well matched, basically the nuances there that betting analytics won't give you is what will essentially guide you. So yeah, my money, you know, if I was betting ironically, would be on Barca. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great tie regardless. Mbappe is probably going to show up in one of the legs anyway, for sure, but I don't think it'll be enough.
I mean, he certainly hates Barcelona, from what I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's
the new camp. So,
yeah, yeah, he brings crazy intensity to those games against Barcelona. Like, it's like, remember him like cursing Jordi Alba and shit like that. Yeah. It was great. Can't wait to watch. We move on to the next tie, which is Atletico Madrid versus Dortmund.
Yeah.
They, based on the draw, Atleti, because they're on the same half of the draw as PSG, Barcelona, and Dortmund.
Yeah.
I feel as if Atleti, of those four teams I just mentioned, I feel like Atleti are probably the strongest team, at least in this tournament. I think they have the best chance of making it to Wembley out of those four teams.
Do you know what's crazy? I think I agree as well. I think look, I'll stay it straight. I don't think Dortmund are even gonna lay a finger on Atleti at all. And I think it's a little bit of the Porto versus Arsenal thing, where Atleti just have way more street smart and Dortmund don't have the grenades to essentially just blow up their street smart shit, basically, like we do. Like we did, should I say. Like, they're going to play every single trick in the book. And I don't think Atleti would mind even going to penalties, genuinely. I think they'll just be like, do you know what? As long as they don't score, we will outlast them. It's going to be a war of attrition for them. They're not even going to try to do anything crazy with them, genuinely, I think. I think they just know that they've got more experience, they're bigger, they're stronger, you know?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, if I'm Diego Simeone, I'm relying on Dortmund to shit themselves at some point.
Yeah,
I'm just going to wait for them to make a mistake, and we'll get our goal, whether it's home or away, and we'll just hold what we have, and we'll wait for more mistakes, and we'll win the ties. I don't think this makes it to penalties at any point.
I'm saying if they really wanted to, I feel like this tie, the competitiveness of the tie goes on as long as Atleti wanted to be, basically.
Essentially. Yeah. But I would love to be wrong.
Absolutely.
I would love for Dortmund to somehow get through this tie. But I just don't see it happening. If we're being honest, everyone in the draw, if they were going to be honest and open about it, everyone would have admitted that they wanted Dortmund.
Yeah.
All the seven other teams wanted Dortmund as their,
especially Bayern.
Especially Bayern, you know, like, because they know Dortmund and they know Dortmund well. Shit. Yeah, credit to Atleti. They looked dead on their feet in that tie against Inter, you know. So I have to. I often shit on Simeone, but I think for once he played against a team that, you know, from a heritage standpoint, at least Inter are just as much terrorists as Atleti are.
Yeah.
And they actually played well enough in this tie for me to not be bitter at them for getting through it. So shout out to them for once. On to the next tie: Real Madrid versus Man City. We watched this one last year. It was an utter fucking humiliation.
Yeah, it looked like City were playing bottom half of the league, in the Premier League.
Bro, it was City versus Luton, but on the grand European stage. Actually, it was actually more intense than the Luton game that City won 6-2 recently in the FA Cup, because I think I remember for like the first 25 minutes of that game, Real Madrid could not get out. They could not string three passes together. It was, frankly, the word remains humiliating. I did not, I mean, like, I don't like Real Madrid. I mean, I respect them. I know who they are. And they have that voodoo magic, but City humbled them last year. So I actually like this draw, because I feel as if Real Madrid should be really motivated to bring their best game.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll be enough though, coach.
No. I actually think Real Madrid have a much better chance this year. And that's purely based on the fact that while City are incredibly strong, I'm not quite sure they're as strong as they were last year. A lot of City's performance was down to the fact that, number one, Real Madrid didn't have any legs, and number two, they essentially just had the perfect lineup to go against whatever Real Madrid wanted to do, which was essentially make it into a game of who has better footballers. And you know, I don't think City have better footballers than Real Madrid, but I feel like they have a much better system and game plan for these situations, kind of thing. Whereas this year, if Real Madrid want to get at City, they could essentially fill the midfield of Valverde, Tchouameni, Camavinga, and Bellingham, And those are all athletes that can just get in and amongst City. Absolutely just run at them, just, you know, make life difficult. And when they have the ball, like between Camavinga and Valverde, them boys are nasty passers. Them boys can break any line in the world. You know what I mean? Like they've got in them. I don't think they'll dominate the game, but they can make sure that they're not going to be out on their feet like they were last year, for sure. It's going to be a brave coach to not play one of Modric and Cruz in a game like this. But I feel like if you want to stay in the game against City, because look, Toni Kroos is fantastic, but in this type of game, he's a pressing trigger. That's it. He's he'll get the ball and immediately one of Bernardo, Rodri, and KDB is onto him. And he's gonna have to play the sideway pass, the backway pass, and then before you know it, City are on top of you. And you can't get out again. Then you go long to one of Vinny or Rodrigo, and they're losing out in the air to Stones, to Ake. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult. Whereas if you actually are a bit braver, and when City have the ball, you actually go after them, it's a different story.
So, yeah, man, I can already see the visions of Rodri chasing Camavinga and failing to catch him and dragging him down by his shirt and getting the red.
Exactly. So there's a lot more there for Real Madrid to work with. It's just that the game management and the know-how, you know, that you lose by not playing Cruz, you know, or Modric, I feel like it's worth the risk. What can you actually lose? You already lost them last year.
Yeah, you know pretty much. You lost them with those old dudes last year, so you might as well use the young bucks who have all the energy in the world. And, you know, I think City's saving grace in this tie is that, you know, Real Madrid, I mean, as much as we love it, they have a bit of a laissez-faire attitude to a tactical approach. They kind of let the players figure it out. I mean, obviously.
Because they're flipping good, that's why.
Yes, it's not the Ancelotti's, they're doing nothing, but they have very good players. City has very good players. But City also has a manager that does not go anywhere without a plan. Yeah. There's a plan in place. We may think we know what he's going to do, but generally, I think when he does what we think he's going to do, that being Pep, things tend to work out for City. It's when he throws a curveball that he fucks himself. So I'm hoping
he just does dumb rubbish, like just trying to be clever. Like it's just so
I'm hoping he pulls another one of those stunts this year and it backfires terribly. Fucking play Matias Nunez because you want to match Real Madrid's legs in midfield or some dumb shit like that. Like, I can't wait.
Someone's got to track Bellingham because I don't want KDB going too far back. Blah blah. No. don't be a foolish idiot, please.
So if you're picking in this one, so we picked PSG. No, we picked Barcelona in the first tie. We picked Atleti in the next one. Yeah. Are we picking Madrid?
Look, City are the favorites to me. Very clear, they're favorites.
Right.
I just have a feeling Real Madrid can do it. I think I'm going to go Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid can do it. But City are obviously the favorites. So.
Yeah, I just refuse to. I don't want to live in a world where Real Madrid's juju can't work 2 years in a row. Like, I accept them losing 1 year, but the second, man.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to meet the winner of this next tie in the semifinals, which I obviously hope is Arsenal, because Arsenal are hosting Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. The first leg in London, Bayern's fans will not be coming to London, so it's going to be all Arsenal fans in the stadium.
60,000 off their face. 59,999 off their face fans, while I'll be the only sober one there.
But on the harder side of the draw, we have Arsenal and Bayern Munich, not there to make up the numbers at all, but this is not a vintage Bayern. We've been doing podcasts all year, whether it's in the Champions League, whether it's a weekend review, and we've often talked shit about Thomas Tuchel and his failure to sort of get this team clicking all season. Obviously, they're looking a little bit better since the club decided that he was going to leave at the end of the season.
The pressure's off. Since they lost the league, they've actually looked better. Like, since literally the 10-point gap, and they've actually just looked better because, we're not going to lead now, so...
I suppose that helps, but you know, you'd expect a team like Bayern to not need an eventuality like that to be better at football. Yeah. But that's not Thomas Tuchel for you. For me as an Arsenal fan, it's hard to look at Bayern and be scared of them. I just can't find it in me. I'm not gonna play this fake humble shit that a lot of fans do because Arsenal hasn't been there for a while or Arsenal's just back for the first time in 14 years. I don't care. I watch the games. Arsenal for me at every point in the season. Even when we're going through a losing streak in December, Arsenal has not been worse than a top five team in Europe this whole season. Bayern, at many points, have not been a top 10 team in Europe this season. And I know that doesn't matter in a cup competition, but I just keep looking. Like, no matter what Tuchel does, there's a space in front of that back line that he just can't fill this season. Mm-hmm. That's why they wanted Palinha. They didn't get him. Pavlovic is doing a decent enough impression of a good defensive midfielder. I mean, he's been called up by Germany, so that's a good sign for them. But I just think Arsenal has enough to deal with them. And keep in mind, Arsenal is the best defensive team in this tournament this season.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can keep up Bayern's attack over 180 minutes, but I have a lot of confidence in what Arsenal can do in this tie, coach.
Well, if we're talking about defenders, I mean, I back our forwards against our forward, any of our forwards. And even in Ketia, I back any of our forwards against coach,
this nigga is playing Eric Dier.
This is what I was gonna say against Eric Dier. Like any of our forwards against Eric Dier, back any of them. Like honestly, get anybody running at Eric Dier and he goes to pieces. He's rubbish. He's just rubbish, guys. He can't play, he's a scrub, he's a bum. He's crap. He's not the standard. Sorry, I'm fasting. I know I'm trying my best not to swear, but I have to be honest. He's not the standard. And look, here's the thing, right? Arsenal for such a long time. Let's actually go back a little bit, right? Let's talk about Porto for a second, right? This Porto tie for me was such a huge banana skin, and the contrast between the first leg and the second leg in terms of my excitement and nerves was night and day. First leg, Dean will tell you. I was bounced off the walls. I couldn't wait. I was like, I cannot wait. I actually wish I was going. Like, you know, it's been so long. And I really want to see how the likes of Saka and Martinelli perform against the team like this in Europe. Like, you know, in a high pressure game in Europe. I really want to see it kind of thing. And then we lost. And I was like, okay, you know, it's fine. It is what it is kind of thing. And then we were smoking everybody in the Premier League between then and the second leg. And the second leg comes. And I told the guys in the group chat, I was like, I feel it. Like, I'm just nervous the entire day. I wasn't feeling good. You know, I thought we'd go through, but I just felt like I was praying that Porto just didn't score. Because while I thought we had the capacity to score, I was thinking, what about if it's a 1-1 draw? Do you know what I mean? What about if, you know, these thoughts were going through my head and I just didn't feel good. And, you know, the penalties happened. Do you know what I mean? Conte Sal is a female dog, you know, sorry, Susie, but he is.
I'm retracting that. Sorry, he a bitch, and she knows it, and he knows it. Everybody knows it. He a bitch.
Okay. But we'll talk about him in a second, actually. But Arsenal won that tie, and it felt as if it's been so long since I felt this way about Arsenal in the Champions League. It's been so long since I felt this way about this being Arsenal in general. Arsenal's history in the Champions League, everybody knows. People love to bring it up as a stick to beat Arsenal. We know better than anybody. You guys can't tell us anything about our club in the Champions League. We know. We get it. We know. And it seems as if it's the only thing you guys feel as if you can beat a stick with us with, because domestically, you know, I mean, there's only what two clubs that can chat to us. Genuinely, there's only two clubs that can chat to us, you know. So there's that. But Arsenal doing this, it felt, tell me if I'm wrong, did it feel like there was, you can actually feel a boulder being moved from our path? There was this huge round of 16 boulder and we quite literally picked it up with our hands and threw it away.
Honestly, you know, like, I think history and heritage are important things and they matter in every sport. Yeah. But ultimately, the teams that were losing all those games in a row, I mean, like, Mikel Arteta was in five of those teams. Now he's a manager. He's been a manager for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
I just, like, that history wasn't really percolating in my mind, if I'm being honest with you. Like, for me, I expected Arsenal to win that tie. I just knew it would be difficult because we're going to talk a lot of shit about Sergio Conceição, but that was a well-coached mid-block. Like, I haven't seen a mid-block that nasty in many, many years. Honestly, I think any team in this competition would have struggled against Porto in this tie. And I think Arsenal did well. Like, I think a lot of people watching the tie, especially the second leg, were under the impression, obviously, Arsenal is a ball-dominant team that wants to dominate games. But I've watched the game back twice now. So that's 3 viewings of the game. And honestly, Arsenal wasn't really going for it all that hard either. I think a lot of that is the lessons we've learned from the losses we've had away from home in the Champions League. Right? Think about the last minute of extra time right before the penalties. Arsenal had a free kick right inside Porto's half, and we just like passed it backwards because we weren't about to like try to get a goal and get cornered on. I think there was a bit of hidden cynicism from Arteta. In that second leg, where he was like, you know,
like, generally, Arteta to me, while he's young and he is learning, but I don't think I've seen a coach in the league anyway in such a long time where it's so obvious you can see, oh, he's been burnt here and he's learned from it. The next opportunity, you can see he actually takes up that opportunity to show, look, I've learned from it, and the team does something different. You know, it's remarkable, man. But again, look, you mentioned, you know, the teams that Arteta was a part of when, you know, we went on that, you know, horrible run, right? Unfortunately, or fortunately for me, every single time Arsenal have played Bayern Munich in the last decade, or just over a decade or whatever, I've been to all of those games 2 years running, I've had to applaud Tony Cruz because he's just put on a masterclass. You know, 2 years running, he scored two fantastic goals that I had a great view of. Then we had the group game against Pep's Bayern where we won, and you know, it was probably the loudest the Emirates has been probably up until this season. That particular home game against Bayern, it was better, and that was just
the Bellerin run at the end.
I still get goosebumps thinking about it. Like, you know, it was, that game was just crazy. And then obviously our last ever Champions League game for 7 years, where we lost 5-1. Unfortunately, I was there again, but Walcott scored, so I still won anyway. And each time, I don't feel as if Arsenal were at any point favourites to win that. I didn't feel as if Arsenal even really had a good chance. I just felt as if Arsenal shouldn't be losing the way we shouldn't be losing 10-2 to anybody, regardless of how strong the other team is, regardless of how bad Arsenal were. We shouldn't just be, you know, it's embarrassing. It was a dark time kind of thing. And in particular, the 13-14 game, I know everybody remember, oh yeah, Arsenal lost that game, Cruz scored a great goal, Szczesny got sent off, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The first 25 minutes of that game, Bayern Munich didn't even know how to live with us. Sonogo was battering their centre-backs. Ozil was just popping up, finding passes wherever he liked. We looked good. We looked really, really good. And then unfortunate sending off kind of thing. Szczesny goes off, calls the referee or whoever, a wanker or whatever. And then obviously we go to pieces off that kind of thing. The long history of those kind of things happening to Arsenal Champions League, I haven't even seen a hint of that in this version of Arsenal Champions League. We haven't looked like when the goals get tough, we just go to pieces. We lost to Lons. The very next game at home, we beat them 6-0. Like, there's a clear pattern of what's happening with Arsenal. Again, if you look at it in the league, we lost to Newcastle 1-0 controversially, and we get our get back so hard. West Ham in the league, again, we lost controversially at home. That Jared Bowen, when the ball should have went out, we go there and we score six so violently. Like, there's a clear pattern with what Arsenal, and I know Arteta. Go on, Dean, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm enjoying your trip down memory lane, but let's focus on what's about to happen.
Yeah.
What would you identify as the key matchup in this tie between Arsenal and Bayern?
Oh, our centre backs against Harry Kane, but also the wide areas. Like, they're strong in their wide areas. Look, and then I'll be honest with you. Yeah, as scared as I am, I really want to see how the lack, because Rice will have to play a little deeper. He can't play as an 8 in this game at all. To me, how he deals with Musiala is probably key, because we know like Bayern aren't as good kind of thing, but you get the ball to Musiala in the half space, he's hurting anybody. I don't care how good Arsenal defense is. Musiala has the capability to hurt anybody. So if he's getting the ball in the half 10 and Harry Kane is making a move, Sane's making a move, do you know what I mean? Koma's making a move. We're in danger. How Declan Rice is able to cover those areas, those half spaces, right, is so going to be so important. And also, as well, Odegaard is going to essentially put pressure and plug those passing lanes into Musiala. So it's going to be so key. So I'm saying midfield. Arsenal to me have a stronger midfield than them, but it doesn't matter. They're still going to have opportunities to get the ball to Musiala. And to me, that's key. That's key. Midfield is key.
I mean, I think that's the case in pretty much every tie. Part of the reason why this Porto game was so difficult for Arsenal, the Porto tie was so difficult for Arsenal, is because throughout the 180 minutes, I don't think Arsenal ever really controlled the midfield.
No.
Porto mostly just flooded that area with bodies, and we just couldn't really control it, even if we controlled the games.
Yeah. But
controlling a game is different from controlling the midfield. I think Arsenal will be able to do that against Bayern, which is why I'm confident in saying that I think Arsenal can win this tie.
Yeah, I think, this is the thing. I know. Obviously, I don't want to go too far back, but like, this is the thing. This Arsenal team that's facing Bayern, those Bayern teams, especially in the early 2010s kind of thing, they were like the second or first best team in Europe, regardless. They won the Champions League in 2013. Put it this way, I think for a good 4 or 5 years in a row, maybe 6 years in a row, Bayern Munich were in the semi-finals of the Champions League. They were a lock every year for the semi-finals of the Champions League. And Arsenal faced them 3 out of 6 years.
And if it wasn't them, it was Barcelona.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like we're playing the Bayern side that were the best of their best Bayern side of the modern era, by comfortably. That easy, the best back. And you know, now Bayern are facing the Arsenal side that is by far our best side since our unbeaten side. But this is comfortably the best Arsenal side that's been there for the last 20 years, easily. So,
there's no reason to go with fear.
Exactly.
I mean, like, different clubs, like, again, heritage is a theme.
Yep.
But different, you have to look at what's happening now. Yep. Arsenal at the moment, I think, is a better football team, football club than Bayern is. And that's not to say Bayern is bad.
Yeah.
I just think this is not one of their vintage years. I mean, they're second in the Bundesliga. What else can we say? They're out of the DFB Pokal, you know.
I mean, you can't really argue. Dire place for them, bro. Like, come on.
And Thomas Tuchel is a coach that is leaving. He's a lame duck coach, you know. So put it this way. Even if you want to be humble about being an Arsenal fan in this tie, if Arsenal can't beat Bayern now, then when will they beat Bayern?
So I'm
very confident about this. What I'm not confident about is our ability, despite how good our defense is, to keep Harry Kane off the score sheet. I think it's just heritage. He will get his customary goal in one of the games.
I think this is a game where, more so than a Porto game, I feel like this is a game where our defense really probably wins us the tie. If we keep them quiet, we're scoring. Like, Arsenal are going to score in both ties. Home and away, we're going to score for sure. If we keep their forwards quiet, I know it's very cliche, if we stop them scoring and we score, no, but it's genuinely one of those things where I don't trust the combination of Upamecano, DR, and him and De Ligt. Like, of those four centre-backs, right, of those four centre-backs, there's no pairing where there's no pairing that's better than our pairing, put it like that. So...
But regardless of the pairing they pick, if they want to win this title, Kim needs to be playing. I don't care who the plus one is, because they're all kind of bozos, but it's Kim plus one.
Yeah. So,
but even so, I'm very confident in Arsenal's ability to do this. I hope, obviously, these words don't come back to bite me in the ass in 2 to 3 weeks. But
look, man, we get to see Musiala and Saka try and rip each other apart. Do you know how blessed we are, bro? Like, this is what the Emirates Stadium was built for, guys.
Indeed.
For these competitions, like for this level of player on our side and opposition side to come here and try their luck. Like, this is what Arsene Wenger wanted for us, guys. Like, more than anything, despite, you know, the years of it, this is what it's about. Enjoy it. Don't overthink it. Be happy that we're here. You know, a lot of us fans that have experienced a lot of shit kind of thing, it feels good to be back here. A lot of you experience this first time, and my advice to you is that enjoy it, because next year, guess what, we're going to be back here again anyway. Do you know what I mean? So enjoy it and do not take it for granted. Be happy about it, man.
All right, we're wrapping up in a minute here, but the first leg for all these ties would be on April 9th. They're all confirmed for April 9th, and the second legs will be on April 16th, a week later. So that's not too far from now. I'm very excited. Looking forward to it.
I need to check these dates because...
Well, deal with that on your own time, nigga. Yeah. In any event, we're done here. So you know what to tell the people, coach.
Peace.
Ooh, yeah. This is the end.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.